church to move in, and for us to get our eyes on Jesus more than the things of the world. You see, the church has kind of been drifting away from God. We've gotten comfortable because Jesus has not come back. But I'm going to tell you something. He's coming. And you've got to be ready. If He comes next week, you need to be ready. If He comes in 100 years, you need to be ready. No matter what, we need to be ready. And He talked about the fact that one of the ways that we need to be ready is getting in the Word of God and begin to study and know what the Word of God says about us. See, it's so important for us to know that. It's sad that in this age of technology, this age of information that we have, that many believers really don't know what the Word of God says. Amen. It's true. They don't know what the Word says. Now, they know parts of the Word. Right? There are certain parts. Many churches never hear anything other than salvation preached to them. Now, thank God for salvation. We all got to be saved. We all need to be saved. But once we're saved, I mean, you know, if you give me directions to town once, and I drive to town, you don't got to give me directions no more to get to town. Right? I know how to get to town. We got saved. Right? I mean, it's good for those that don't know for us to make sure that we're telling them how to get saved. But you don't got to tell somebody that's already saved how to get saved again because they know how to get saved. They've been saved. So it's important that we move on in our learning of the Word of God. Amen. But you see, there's something going on in the country, and Amos pegged it out pretty good. Let's go, if you will, just flip over with me to Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8, look at verse 11. It says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." A famine of hearing the words of the Lord. And you say, "Pastor Mike, the Word is everywhere. Everybody preaching. You can turn on podcasts. You can get on the internet. You can go to YouTube. You go." Yes, but are you hearing the words of the Lord, the words of God, or are you hearing man's indoctrination? Man's religion, man's denomination, man-made opinions about the Word of God, or are you hearing the true Word of God? Amen. See, that's something that we have to be careful of so that we know. You say, "Well, Pastor Mike, how can I know?" Well, you've got to get into the Word for yourself. It's real easy to be duped if you don't know what the Word says. Come on. I got a text the other day telling me, matter of fact, I got it in the night. I got a text. And I'm like, "Who's texting me at night? I hope nothing's wrong." And I look over and I find out there's some suspicious activity on my people's bank account. But see, I know that I don't have a people's bank account. So I didn't have to call the number and give them any information or anything like that. It was a scam. People are getting scammed in churches everywhere. They're getting scammed out of the benefits of the covenant that we're in with God. Now, don't get mad at me now. I'm just going to tell you some truths today. And we need to know these truths because I don't want to be scammed. I don't want to hear somebody's opinion. I want to know what the Word of God says. See, we have to understand that the Word of God is the most important thing in our... Amen. I'm going to prove it to you in Scripture. Mark 13:31. Matthew 24:35. You don't have to go there. Luke 21:33. All three of them say this exact same statement. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The only thing going to stand when everything else goes away is the Word of God. When the elements begin to melt with fervent heat, the Word of God will still be standing.
Amen.
Amen. See, I want you to understand the importance of that. And we as children of God, we need to know what the Word says. The only thing that ought to ever be coming out of the pulpit should be backed by the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. This written Word, God, listen, God never operates outside His Word. If somebody starts telling you this thing and that thing and you can't find it backed in the Word of God, you better stay away from it. Amen. You have to make sure that it is backed up. The Bible actually teaches that everything needs to be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. In other words, you ought to be able to go in the Word of God and find at least three places that something's so. See, the Bible should be interpreted by the Bible. See, you've got to understand that because, I like books that are written by men. You know, I learned a lot from Dad Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, from his books. But I also made sure his books were backed by the Word of God. And they were because he would make a statement and then he would show you the Scripture for what he just said. A lot of kind of what I do when I'm talking to you. I try to make sure that I back up what I say with the Scripture so you can see that. See? So, you know, and there's been many, many books and a lot of them are helpful and that's okay. But listen, you can't make doctrine out of a book written by a man. Doctrine must be made from the Word of God. Amen. And there's some things in the Word of God that you don't make doctrine out of. You don't make a doctrine out of somebody that falls in the floor when they're touched by the anointing of God and you see them fall in the floor. You can't make a doctrine out of that. Why? Because that's a move of God. That's something that God does when He wants to.
Amen. Amen. Come on.
Come on. It's not something you can make happen. I know people fake it. But see, that's not the Spirit of God. I want the true Spirit of God. Amen. And I want to see people overwhelmed falling under the anointing. I want the power of God so strong on them that they fall out. And that's a wonderful thing. Amen. But you see, you can't make a doctrine out of that because it's something that God does. It's an act, a move of God. You see. So if we're going to have doctrine, we've got to have Scripture to base it on. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says this. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So that right there just kind of shows you that, because there's those naysayers when I talk about books written by men. They say, well, the Bible's written by men. But under the inspiration of God. It's the way God wanted it written. Let me finish this. All Scripture, right, is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. That word means mature. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Everything that you hear coming out of the pulpit needs to be backed by the Word of God. If you're watching something on TV and somebody saying it, and here's the thing, I don't care how popular they are. I'm telling you to get in the Word of God. Check me out. Follow. See if I'm telling you the truth from the Word of God. And I would ask you to do me the courtesy of the other people that you're listening to do the same thing. Don't just take what's coming down. Just because it's popular don't mean it's the Word. I mean, you know, I would love to think that once I got saved, no matter whatever I did the rest of my days, then I wouldn't have to worry about it because I've always been saved. I always will be saved. I'd love to believe in the eternal security doctrine. But I find in the Word there's too many places that, you know, number, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. I find Scripture that says, you know, once you've been brought out of the troubles of the world, you get entangled there again. Well, you know, if I'm eternally saved, it don't matter if I get entangled again. It says he's worse than the life state's worse than the first. You know, it talks about the hog returning to its wallow, the dog to its vomit. So there's two scriptures. The third scripture, the Bible says over in Hebrews that, you know, once we've tasted the gift of God and operated in that, and it says, you know, we've tasted of the powers of the world to come. That's the Spirit of God moving. If we sin, then it says in that place, there's that place that you go too far, and it says it's impossible to renew them again. So there's three witnesses from the Word of God that you're not eternally secure. Now, here's how I believe eternal security. I believe as long as you want to be eternally secure, you will be. As long as you're with Jesus, as long as you're with God, as long as you're with the Word of God, you don't have to worry about a thing. You don't have to sit and wring your hand, am I saved? If you believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, believed that He died on a cross, was placed in the tomb on the third day, He rose again, and confessed Him as Lord, you're saved.
Amen.
And if you're living for Him, you know you're saved. Now, if you decide I'll go off living for yourself, then you're going to have to do some checking. You better do some soul searching. You might need to rededicate.
Right.
Well, I mean rededicate. I mean just renew your commitment to God. So many people sometimes, and you know, you have those folks that are, they're in and out and in and out. I don't know. I'm worried I made a mistake. Listen, that's what grace is for. It's for the mistakes that we make. Thank God for grace. I believe in grace. But I believe there's a place that we can go too far. We can take it past the limits that to where God says sin is sin. And when you turn your back on me, that's sin.
Yes, amen. Amen.
You take that where you want to with it. But you can go and the people will tell you that. But now, you know, you can believe what you want to. I'd rather know the truth. Listen, here's where I'm at with this. I would rather repent every day and not have to.
Amen.
As to live my life not repenting and then when Jesus comes, not be ready. Because I was so arrogant to think that I couldn't do anything wrong once I got saved. Just a thought for you, you know. But I'm just telling you that we're hearing all kinds of things. And like I said, I would love that to have that scripture. But I just there's too many things that speak to me away from eternal security that I can't go there.
Amen.
So many other things, and I don't want to get into too many doctrines and that kind of thing, because I want you to just understand that what you hear from the pulpit needs to be backed by the Word of God, and sometimes you just need to search it out for yourself. You know, one of the scriptures that a lot of times the eternal security folks use is that nothing can separate you from the love of God. And that's absolutely 100% true. But just because God loves you don't mean He can't let you go to hell. Well, wait a minute, Pastor Mike, now, wait a minute. See, the Bible says God is love. So He can't help but love you. Because He is love. The Bible also says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him would not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever would believe. God loved the world, but whosoever's got to believe. You understand what I'm saying? God will love you all the way to hell. He'll love you in hell. Because He is love. But that love won't keep you out of hell if you want to go the other direction. See, you've got to understand that. So you can't use that scripture for eternal security. Because He loves everybody. Always has. He loved us before we were ever formed in the belly of the womb. Before the foundation of the world, He loved us. Because God is love. But you see, if you were trying to prove some kind of doctrine or whatever, you'll kind of pull on things like that. But you've got to look at both sides. See, I ask you to examine everything that I'm talking about. So now go with me to over Romans chapter 10. I'm talking about what we hear. We need to make sure that it's backed by the Word of God. Look what Romans 10 says in verse 11. It says, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." Whosoever. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, that kind of does away with some of these places that are preaching, you know, you got to be this and you got to be that and you got to do this. And, you know, you're divinely chosen before the foundations of the world. You're pre-selected to go to heaven. Well, I wouldn't have, if I was God and I had just certain people that I had chosen to go to heaven, I don't believe I'd have put whosoever in my Bible.
That's right.
Can Can I get an amen for somebody? Come on. You know, Calvinism is a joke. You can get mad at me about that if you want to. It teaches stuff like that, that you were pre-selected to go to heaven. And God's going to be so irresistible, you can't turn down that selection. And you don't have to worry about it. You'll always go to heaven. Well, that'd be bound on the people that's not pre-selected, wouldn't it? I'll just believe the Bible and say, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'll take this book over Calvin's book. Come on, you see what I'm saying? See, you can take men's books and have doctrines and you can have churches, but that don't mean it's the Word of God. Amen. I mean, why would you even give an altar call if only certain people are going to get saved? Wrong person might come up. Yeah, let's go. I got to quit now. Let's move. Let me go on. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, we need the word of God preached so that we can get faith. Because the Bible teaches us it's impossible to please God without faith. Come on, it says that there in Hebrews 11:6, he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and believe that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. What is believing that He is? Well, that's faith. And believing that He's a rewarder is faith, you see. So if I'm not being taught the Word of God, how in the world am I ever going to get faith for the things in the Word of God if I don't know what they are? Amen. So you have to look at that. And understand that God wants us knowing the Word of God. Now, look over here with me over into 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. I'm going to get in along a little bit of Rick here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 34. It says, awake unto righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Some have not the knowledge of God. If we're going to wake unto righteousness, there's going to have to be more solid teaching of the Word of God. The church must know its privileges and its rights according to the covenant that we're in with God. See, do you understand and know that there are people that go to church every Sunday and don't know that God wants them healed, that He's already had Jesus striped for their healing, and as far as God's concerned, you're already the healed of God. Remember that? By His stripes, you were healed. When were you healed? When He was striped. People don't have a clue. There are people who goes to church every Sunday and don't know that God wants them to live an abundant life. But Jesus said it was the thief that cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. And He goes on to say, but I've come, Jesus came, that you might have life and life more abundantly. Eternal life and life here on this earth abundantly. See, that there's people that don't know that because it's never been taught from the pulpits. Because people would rather teach this gloom, doom stuff. They don't want to preach a happy Christian. They want to preach a sad Christian. Man, I ain't got nothing to be sad about, and neither have you. You're a born-again child of God, an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, a son and daughter of God, in covenant with God through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. There ain't no sad story to tell. Amen. Well, yeah, but you know, it don't matter if you leave this earth. You still got a better story than the rest of us that are left here. Right? Come on, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You already make it. That's what we're in this thing for, isn't it? To go to heaven. I understand nobody don't want to die right now, but I'm just telling you, if you do, you'll be better off. Why do you think the Bible tells you to rejoice at a death and mourn at a birth? Amen. You see, I mean, you know, and nobody wants to die. It's the fear of dying, I think, a lot of times that causes, messes people up. But I'm going to tell you something. Better things, a whole lot better things, are waiting on us. Nothing compared to the glory that's waiting on us. So we have to wake up. We have to know our rights and privileges. The thing is, most of what the church knows today doesn't even resemble the God of the Bible. Amen. It's true. A lot of Christians are like, the guy goes out and buys something off of Amazon. And he gets it home, and it's got a million parts to it. Can I get amen anywhere from anybody? Anybody? But he decides to put it together without reading the instructions. What a time that is. Don't hold your hand up if you tried it. Had a few parts left over. What I'm trying to say is, you can't get into the body of Christ. You get born again by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But once you get into the kingdom of God, if you're going to live this life, you better read the instructions. Because the instructions will tell you how to live this life, how to enjoy this life, and all of a sudden you'll find out that it's not God doing all this stuff to you. Preacher one time got up in the pulpit. He had cancer. And his testimony was this. He said, well, I don't know why God gave me this cancer, but I know He's trying to teach me something through it. That's a true story. But you know the problem? He said God was trying to teach him something through cancer. But he was taking radiation treatments, trying to get healed. Now, wait a minute. If God did it to make me sick, to teach me something, wouldn't I be going against the will of God to try to get healed? I need to get just as sick as I can get. Maybe I'll learn what He wants me to learn. See how stupid that sounds? That's not our Heavenly Father. Number one, God doesn't give folks cancer. Come on now. It's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? Not God's not doing that to try to teach you something. I would never do something bad to my daughter to try to teach her something, but I would give her some instructions to teach her so she'd learn. Come on, church. You see, that's what a lot of the church thinks about God, that He's a big, mean God doing all kinds of bad things, and you get out of line, man, He's going to do this to you, do that. No, what happens sometimes when we get out of line is we get ourselves out from under the covering of God, and we make a place for the enemy to come into our life, and the Bible says neither give place to the devil. Because the enemy likes to slide into those places. The Bible teaches us, even with somebody that maybe had a spirit in them, they were oppressed or possessed. It says, when the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and he finds nothing. He's talking about the unclean spirits walking through dry places, looking for a place to find rest. And he says to himself, I'll go back to my house where I came from. I'm going to go back to that person I got cast out of. And it says he comes back and he finds the place empty because he's gone. It's swept, cleaned up. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And it's garnished. When God delivers you, He delivers you completely. But the problem was the demon was never replaced with the Spirit of God because they'd never made Jesus the Lord of their life. So there was no Holy Spirit living in the place. And the Bible says he went in and took seven spirits worse than himself back in. See, that's how the devil operates. God doesn't operate that way. God wants you blessed. He wants you healed. He wants you prosperous. God doesn't want his kids to do without. I can show you in the Word of God. But there's most of the church does not know that. And if you tell them, they don't want to hear it because they've been so indoctrinated that they won't believe it. The Bible has a whole chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, on the gifts of the Spirit operating through people in the church. And most of the church does not even believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost so that He can operate through them. See what I'm trying to tell you? It's important that you and I know the Word so that we can enjoy the benefits of the covenant that we have with God. See, in a covenant, everything one person has, another person has. And what this person has, that person has. Because they're in covenant together. Well, we've got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. We're in covenant with God. God cut His covenant with Jesus Christ. With seed. Abraham's seed. Not seeds as of many, but one. The Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. So see, the covenant was cut through the Lord Jesus Christ. When He bled on a cross, the covenant was established for you and I so that we could live as children of God and enjoy the benefits that the New Testament offers to us.
Amen.
Amen. And see, it's easy for people to, you know, try to naysay and just because you don't believe it don't mean it's not real. See, there are folks that don't believe in devils, demons. They don't believe in angels, but just as sure as there's demons, there's angels. There's people that don't believe in hell, but as sure as there's a hell, there's a heaven. As sure as there's a heaven, there's a hell. You see, but you can say, I don't believe it all you want to. Those folks that don't believe in God, one of these days they'll be believers. Now, they'll be in hell while they're believing, but they'll be believing unless they change their way, unless they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord. You see, and so we need to be told what the Word says so that we can enjoy that. It amazes me how many people talk, and if you just sit and listen to them talk, they're talking about negative stuff. They're talking about things that God's doing that He didn't do. And I'm going to tell you something. You get mad at me about this, but it's all right. You need to be careful of what you're listening to when it comes to Christian music. Mercy Me may win lots of awards, and their music may be real popular. But if you know what the Word says and you hear what they say, you find out real quick where they stand. See, you're looking at me funny. One of their songs says, no matter what you've done, you can't erase His love. You're still a son. You're still a daughter, no matter what. I just gave you three scriptures a few minutes ago that says that's not right. You hear them singing, oh, folks singing, and not just them, but a lot of them now, they're singing about all the turmoil, all the trouble, and all this stuff, you know. You've got to understand that that's not the kind of God we serve. He's not causing all that kind of stuff. When you hear these songs saying, if you don't do this for me, and if you don't do that for me, it's His will to do them. The problem is our receiving. Don't sing and saying God wouldn't do it for me, because He's already done it for you. Amen. See, so, you know, you have to see these things. And understand that the benefits of the covenant of God give you and I rights and privileges that the rest of the world doesn't have. Cancer has no right in your body. Heart disease has no right in your body. Come on, church. Those things don't have right in your body because you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and by His stripes you were healed. Understand that. See, and if you don't know that, then you can't know how to stand. You know, a lot of folks pray, they say they believe in healing, but they pray, Lord, if it be Your will, heal me. Well, what they just said is, I don't know what the will of God is concerning healing. That's what they just said. But the Word says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Even as your soul prospers. You know what He just said? It's My will for you to prosper. It's My will for you to be healthy. And it's My will for you to walk in covenant with Me. That's the will of God. So I don't got to pray if it's Your will when it comes to my healing. I don't have to pray if it's Your will when it comes to my prosperity. Now there's things you do. Give and it shall be given to you. Right? Bring a whole tithe into the storehouse and prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there won't be room enough to receive. And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. Come on. You see, that's what the Word says. And so I'm just going to believe the Word. I choose to believe the Word. You need to choose to believe the Word. Don't be like some of these folks that don't know what their covenant says. You hear them talk about different things. And, you know, if they hear a word like cancer, all of a sudden they freak out because their first thoughts is they're going to die. Well, I stand up, Rick. Stand up, Miss Beck. Here's two that heard the C word. Guess what? They ain't no C in their life. There's a big G. Good health. Jesus. Now, I just wanted to do that just to give God some glory. To let you know that if a doctor comes with a bad report, whose report are you going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord that says, I'm the healed of God in Jesus' name. And so are you. But if you don't know that, if you've not heard that, how can you believe that? See, when the eunuch was driving down the road, Philip had been translated from that great citywide revival in Acts chapter 8 there where the whole city came out and they were getting saved, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden the Spirit pulls Philip out of there. Next thing you know, he's over there and there's a eunuch driving down the road. But he's reading from Isaiah. And Philip runs and catches the chariot. Now, I don't know if the chariot's walking or moving fast. It don't matter if the Spirit can translate him from there to there. It won't matter. Right? But Philip says, hey, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch says, well, how can I except some man help me? And Philip joined him in the cart and he began to explain and began to preach to him Jesus right there from Isaiah. And the man comes down the road and he says, hey, here's water. What doth hinder from me from being baptized? Philip looks and says, if you believe, you can. He said, I believe. Come on. You see what if you believe what the Word says, then you can. See, if you believe what the Word says, you can have what the Word says. I don't know how much plainer to try to make this. I want us to get it. Now, other churches might not get it. Other Christians might not get it. I'm sorry for them. I feel bad for them. But I'm going to make sure that you hear the truth of the Word of God so you can walk in covenant with God and enjoy the benefits of that. Living for God is not, it's a hard old way. There'll always be hard times. Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. They'll always, but here's what he said, be of good cheer. Notice that? I've overcome the world. What did he just tell us? Yeah, you're going to have some hard times because there's a real devil here in this world system that wants you to go to hell. But I've already overcome him. Remember? Jesus whipped him, put him to an open chain. So you be of good cheer because he ain't got nothing over you. Come on. You understand the devil has no power over you except what you allow him to have? Everybody afraid of the big bad devil. The devil can't do anything to you because Jesus is your Lord. The Bible teaches us that our adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's seeking who will give him permission. Right? Isn't that what it says? He's seeking whom he may devour. When we were kids, I don't know what kids now, they play and stuff like that. When we were kids, one of the little games that we played when we was little was Mother May I. Just for fun. Show of hands, Mother May I. All us older folk. Yep, that's what I thought. Well, no, I'm not so older. I see Miss a few back there. But you know, you remember the game. They would ask something and you'd have to say, Mother, may I, before you did it. If you didn't say, Mother, may I, then you lost. And that's what the devil's basically saying. I want to attack you, may I? I want to devour you, may I? Come on. And see, you say, well, I would never give him permission to do that. No, you wouldn't, but you would do things like this. Oh, my head is killing me. I'm about to die with my back. Well, now the doctor's found this place on me and I'm afraid it's cancer. You just gave him permission. He was just waiting for you to say out of your mouth that you thought it was something that he had control over. Do you understand how that works? Am I making sense? Don't give him permission. He has no right. You are the property of God. And if he tries to touch you, he is trespassing on God's property. See, when you know what the Word says, you understand that and you know that. But it's so sad that so many people have no idea what I've just told you. And they think we're nuts. You know, I just think it'd be nuts to talk about a God that's a loving God and a kind Father, but He wants to kill me with cancer. Come on, that'd make Him a little schizophrenic. Is that the right word? To try to do good and then turn around and hurt me. That's why people blame God for everything. Where you hear it out of the pulpits and you hear people talk about it. And the truth's not being preached. And they're not being preached the benefits. They're just being preached, the bad stuff and all that. Now, you know, God wants you to have the good stuff. And God brings good stuff. But now, God will never bring the bad stuff. I got to prove that to you from Scripture, okay? Just in case somebody's still skeptical, thinking, well, I don't know now. No, it could be, you know, that if God was trying to turn you around. Listen, we live on this earth. And the Bible teaches that this earth has a God over it. And it's a little g. He's the God over this world. The little God. The God of this world, the Bible calls Him. That's Satan. But our big God is God over everything. Over and over Him. But see, here's the thing. Let me help you understand it this way. The earth right now is Satan's domain. In other words, he's in control of the things that are on the earth right now. Now, for God to come down here and interfere with that would be Him trespassing on the devil's property. See, now I'm messing with some of you. But you see, what you've got to understand is, if you're a child of God, you got translated out of His dominion over into God's dominion. So God can now intervene for His children. That's why He can intervene for Israel, because they've always been His children. But people all the time want to say, well, God brought that. You remember when, was it Katrina that came into Louisiana down there? Well, God brought that in there to bring judgment on them people. They're all, you know, all that gambling, all that voodoo and all that. You know, people were saying that kind of stuff. The problem was Christians died down there too. Anybody remember Sodom and Gomorrah? When God brought judgment, He sent angels down there and got Lot and his daughters out of there. And his wife, but his wife looked back because she loved the world too much. Before He destroyed it. Can I tell you something? You can believe what you want to believe. But I believe that the Bible says God's not appointed us to wrath. So I believe that God's going to come get us and rapture us out of here before the bad starts here on this earth. You believe what you want to. If you want to go through it, go ahead. But I'm not going. I'll wave at you as I'm being lifted up into the sky to meet the Lord in the air. So I got to get back to where I'm at here. But anyway, the enemy is the one that causes the bad stuff, not God. And I said I was going to prove it to you from Scripture that God's not the author of the bad stuff. Listen to these. I'll give these. You can write them down if you want, if you need to know them. James 1:7 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What did he just say? Every good and perfect gift comes from above and there's no variableness. In other words, God don't change His mind about that. He don't give you a good gift one day and a bad gift another day. No, He's not double-minded. There's no variableness. He stays the same. Good and perfect gifts come down from the Father of lights. Amen? Can somebody amen me on that? Come on now. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." If you're a born-again child of God, you're the called according to His purpose. So God's working all things together for good for you. Notice He's not working all things together for bad to try to teach you something. Okay? Another scripture, established in 3. "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." Come on, see, that's the kind of God we serve. Not the God that a lot of people make Him out to be. God's not the God of death and destruction. He's the God of life, and even more abundant life. So we have to know what the Word says. Now, I wrote down that God's good, God's light, God's life. Isn't that right? If we don't know what the Bible says, folks, we'll miss out on it. There was an old lady, this true story. Old lady, she went to the bank. And she went up to the teller. She said, "Honey," the teller come to her and said, "What can I do for you?" She said, "Honey, would it be all right if I borrow or get $90 out of the bank?" And the teller says, "Well, let me look and see." And so she gives her bank thing. And she looks and teller's eyes get big. Old lady's loaded. And she said, "Why, honey, sure. You can have that." She says, "$90 too much." She looks at her and says, "Honey, you've got plenty of money in here." "Yeah, but I didn't know if you wanted to give it to me or not." She says, "Ma'am, you don't understand. The money that's in this bank is not ours. It's already yours. You can have it if you want it." Now, see, you've got to think about that. God's your bank. It's laid up for you. He's just waiting for you to go ahead and make withdrawal. It is God's will for you to withdraw healing. He's already given it to you. It is His will to bless you. He's already made you a blessing. See, but if you don't know what the Word says, you can miss out on it. The lady thought she had to ask permission to get her own money. That's like somebody praying, "If it be Thy will, Lord." That's asking for something that God's already given you. But you have to know what the Word says and operate in that and believe God. Receive that by faith, because that's what He wants His people doing. He wants us walking in that covenant with Him. He wants us walking in that blessing. Now, I don't know, and I'll close here just in a second. I don't know why a lot of preachers are not telling believers about their benefits in the covenant of God. I don't know why. I think some of them, it's just because that they don't know it. I think maybe some of them don't believe it. Maybe some of them, they've just never been taught. I don't know. Maybe some of them think that it's impossible to happen. But see, the Word says all things are possible if you believe. So if the Word says it, it's possible, because He is the God of possible. He says, "Nothing's impossible with me." Is there anything too big for God? No, there's not. He's God, and He cannot lie. He cannot lie. So if His Word says it, you can have it. But you have to know that it says it in order to have it. That's where God wants us walking, church. In covenant with Him, knowing what the Word says. Don't matter what somebody else will. Somebody else will say, "Well, I don't believe that." Well, let them believe what they want to. Leave that up to Him. But you believe what the Word says, and you'll have what the Word says. Amen. It'll be yours. Why? Because it's already been given to you. God wants you to have that. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Father, I pray, Lord God, that You and I in our covenant, Lord.